From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Healthcare workers in states where coronavirus infections are spiking are once more seeing serious shortages of personal protective equipment, or PPE, as they struggle to keep patients alive without getting infected themselves. The National Union of Healthcare Workers has demanded that its members be provided ample PPE as well as hazard pay. In Southern California, at Kindred Westminster Hospital, nurses and other healthcare workers have been picketing for their rights. Here is a short video created by NUHW about their demands.
We're fighting for better PPE for our staff. We're fighting to have a COVID unit in our facility, so that way they are not mixing COVID patients with non-COVID patients in our building.
We're doing everything that we can to keep our family members safe and the patients here safe, but Kindred is putting us at risk by not having strong infection control precautions when it comes to COVID-19 virus.
The unionized healthcare workers at Kindred Westminster Hospital, where 10 nurses have gotten infected and one had to be hospitalized, are planning another picket this week. My guest is Joshua Fernandez, respiratory therapist at Kindred and also the union steward for his collective bargaining unit with the National Union of Healthcare Workers. Welcome to the program, Joshua.
Hello, thanks for having me, Sonalia.
So, of course, the situation in California remains dire. And earlier this year, we heard of nurses and healthcare workers in New York City, which was the epicenter in, say, March, April, healthcare workers demanding PPE, having to resort to using garbage bags for protection or reusing PPE. And once more now, as cases are peaking, we're seeing these shortages once more. What is the situation specifically at Kindred Hospital Westminster in terms of access to protection for healthcare workers like yourself?
So access for PPE over at Kindred Hospital Westminster is pretty weak right now. The workers are demanding stronger infection control practices. We've also had the situation where management is telling us that we have to reuse the gowns and we're only allotted X amount of masks, and sometimes they're not even giving us the appropriate equipment that we need. But just recently, they were taking down the hooks that we used to use to hang on the gown to use, because the infection is very hard to maintain if you're using an old gown that has something on it. Right now, everyone's really tired and stressed out and trying to figure out what is the safest way to do this and to be safe while protecting themselves, the patients, and their family.
So you have this situation where masks, gowns, face shields, hair covers, all of these are the kinds of equipment that the government is supposed to have kept as a stockpile for emergencies, was supposed to be distributed by the state. But then there's also private hospitals. Do you think that the hospital is trying to get access to PPE, but unable to find the right source? Or do you think they're choosing to not give you ample PPE because maybe it costs too much money and is affecting their bottom line?
Yeah, I definitely think that's the case, you know, because they're following CDC guidelines to the bare minimum that they can, and but they have PPE. I mean, we're all a very close network. We talk to each other all the time, whether it be the RTs, the RNs, the supply chain, the monitor techs. Everyone is connected very closely. So when it comes to the PPE, I think they're just being cheap, honestly. They can buy more expensive PPE or even offer more money for them. They're a billion-dollar company. We don't see why we don't have the right supplies.
This is a private hospital, so the point is to turn a profit, right?
Right.
Tell me about the way in which the coronavirus pandemic has affected healthcare workers like yourself. I understand 10 nurses have so far gotten infected.
Yes, that's correct. We have a couple of workers that once they get infected, they have to take a leave of absence or they have to quarantine themselves. And that leaves our hospital short-staffed. It's already really hard right now with people being under so much stress and pressure that they have to call out sick because they're not sure if they're having symptoms. They're self-isolating at home. The hospital is becoming understaffed. And it gets really harder to address situations that happen in the hospital.
So
for me personally, I have to protect my little girl, you know, and when I come home, going to the hospital every day is a scare. You know, it really is. We're not sure if if today's going to be the day that we get infected. We're not sure if today's going to be the day that we bring home something potentially hazardous to our friends and to our families at home. So it is very scary and hard. We do extra above and beyond precautions like washing our shoes, changing our clothes, making sure we're showering, et cetera, et cetera.
So there's the issue of personal protective equipment or PPE. There's also hazard pay, which I understand is the other demand. Tell me about that.
Yeah, the workers are in a condition where they have to wear a mask, an N95, a shield. They have to put on a head bonnet. Sometimes we wear a papper. It's like this big and it goes on and it has this shield. It's like, it's very hard to put on.
You're completely encased, so, basically.
Yeah. And not only that, when you come in to try to do your normal job, the screen that's protecting you fogs up and it blocks your visibility. It's even harder to breathe in those things. And so these workers are put under extraneous circumstances. Hazard pay seems to be one of the things that is appropriate at this time in the middle of a pandemic.
You are a respiratory therapist. Have you directly worked with COVID patients?
Absolutely. I admit them into the hospital, I bring them and I put them on their life support.
So are you the person that gets them on ventilators?
Absolutely. And I also assist the physician at bedside during intubation for a patient that is COVID positive, if necessary.
Tell me a little bit about what that's been like for you. Ventilators are basically a last resort, I understand. And I imagine that in addition to the PPE, it's probably been pretty traumatic for healthcare workers like yourself to see so much, so many of your patients struggling and dying.
Yeah, I mean, what it's like, it's very scary. The direction that management is taking for labeling patients that are suspected COVID positive or COVID recovery is the new terminology. It's scary because you never know what you're going to step into. And then the patient ends up having this emergency issue where they start crashing and you need to respond to the scenario. It takes time to put on all this PPE and then let alone work efficiently to save their life, perform adequate CPR, maybe put them on life support. Even though life support is a last-ditch effort to save their life, it's actually very common with patients that are deteriorating from COVID-19.
So is there a demand also to have a separation of patients that is to protect them from other patients? Because, of course, people come into the hospital all the time for various ailments. So does Kindred Westminster have a separate ward for COVID patients?
No, they don't. They don't. And that's part of the reason why we're out and about right now picketing. We've asked Kindred several times to establish a designated COVID unit like they have at Kindred Hospital Brea, and they've constantly rejected our proposal for a unit stating that they don't need one, that they have a designated spot inside of the hospital that only fits X amount of patients. So if at any point in time they want to admit more, they end up scrambling those patients in with the other general.
Have you worried that the infected patients are going to not only infect healthcare workers like yourself, but even other patients if they're not isolated?
Absolutely. I'm very scared for these patients. These patients are in our long-term acute care facility, which is a step down from acute care. It's not necessary. I mean, a lot of people want to look at it as a nursing home, but we're a step above the nursing home because if a patient has an issue where they go critical, we don't send them out to an acute care. We handle them. We handle the situation ourselves inside of the ICU. We have a 16-bed ICU, and right now, 8 of those beds are designated to new admissions that come in for COVID, and we try to determine how we're going to take care of them from there.
Those nurses and healthcare workers that were infected or think they might have been exposed and have to go into quarantine, are they able to get paid leave for the time that they have to take off in order to ensure that they don't spread the virus?
It just depends on what happens. Right now, Kindred wants, if an employee gets tested positive for COVID, Kindred wants them to be on disability more so. They're offering something.
Because it's cheaper for them, I imagine?
Well, I don't understand what it is. They're the ones that take us off of the schedule when we tell them we're not feeling too well. They ask us to go get checked out with our primary. They do offer a test, but they didn't tell us that they were only going to offer us a test one time. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they said they're going to let us go out to our community sources for free testing.
So you work in a hospital and you don't have access to testing that's freely available?
We don't have consistent access is what we're trying to say. It's one of the things that we're picketing about. We want regular testing for all staff at least twice a month. You know, if we're showing signs and symptoms, Kendra says, okay, well, we'll test you. We'll test you one time. And then after that, we're going to refer you to either your primary or the community COVID testing precincts.
One would imagine that in a hospital that is dealing with COVID patients, that standard, you know, weekly testing of all healthcare workers, including doctors and other staff, would be sort of a normal thing. I was assuming that that was happening already.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, that's not the case with our hospital, and that's why we're going to be picketing this week.
It's happening Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. in front of Kindred Hospital, Kindred Westminster Hospital in Southern California. I want to play a video for you and our audience of National Union of Healthcare Workers members in Orange County, California, speaking out about the importance of personal protective equipment, the importance of masks. One of the things that they had to contend with was skepticism from hecklers, from the audience. And we know that, unfortunately, Orange County is not only a hotspot for the virus, but a hotspot for people who don't believe the virus is real or that masks work. And perhaps that's no coincidence. Here is the video put together by the National Union of Healthcare Workers.
This is a horrible morning to be outside with a mask on.
Hospital. I take my life to work every day and risk my life. Yeah, I'm on video every day. I see people die. Thanks for this transmission of COVID, which helps keep our community from becoming overwhelmed.
Among the things that the hecklers were saying is that COVID is a fraud, masks do not work, and even the epithet communists. My guest is Joshua Fernandez. He is a respiratory therapist at Kindred Hospital Westminster in Southern California, and his fellow staffers who are members of the National Union of Healthcare Workers have been picketing for better protection. Joshua, what do you make of this? I don't know if any of your patients are among the skeptics who think that COVID is a hoax or that masks do not work, but does this sort of attitude make the work of healthcare workers even harder?
Well, yeah, absolutely. When the spikes increase in cases, we generally see an increase in hospital admissions. COVID-19 is very real. This is not a hoax. You know, I've personally dealt with patients and seen them deteriorate in the respiratory status from doing nothing, like me and you, in breathing regular oxygen in the air, to having to give them so much extra oxygen and even intervening with advanced airways to save their life. This is not a joke, and these people are suffering, and it's very scary for all of us to have to take care of those patients because it's risky for everyone, and we don't have the appropriate means to continue to do so for a long period of time.
Is there also an issue with shortage of staffing or even shortage of beds or space in your hospital? We have heard so many stories of places where suddenly there's a spike in infections and, you know, hospitals run out of beds. Nurses work back-to-back shifts because there just aren't enough healthcare workers.
Yeah, that's correct. I myself, the other day, I worked two 12-hour shifts with about 3 hours of rest in between because we were understaffed. People get sick all the time, you know, especially nowadays with the extra, you know, one person goes down at Kindred and we run things so tight there that if one person goes down, we all feel it. We really do. Like one of the EVS workers right now, he's our environmental. He helps keep everything clean, taking care of the trashes, washing, cleaning and cleansing the COVID rooms after the patient is either moved to another room or has unfortunately passed. And so we clean the rooms with him. And right now one of them is out. And so the trash cans are piling up. So imagine what happens when a staff member gets sick and we have our dirty healthcare workers and we have our clean healthcare workers. Dirty healthcare workers cannot help the clean healthcare workers. So that in itself lowers our staff in an emergency situation.
So if just one staffer has to be quarantined because they think they've gotten infected, that increases the workload on the other staffers naturally, which suggests that there's just not much of a buffer that's been built into the system in terms of staffing. Again, this is an issue with for-profit healthcare, unfortunately. Joshua, there's a picket happening on Wednesday. I know that there are fellow healthcare workers in other hospitals that are also members of the National Union of Healthcare Workers, such as in Santa Rosa, California, that are going through similar things. What sort of solidarity do you hope for from the general public? Are you calling on people to come and picket with you?
Yeah, we would love anyone to come over and support our cause. You know, during this time at Kindred Hospital Westminster, it's a very detrimental time for the people that are in there that are suffering their illnesses by themselves. They're no longer allowed to have visitors due to the pandemic. And we're hoping that people understand and know the situations that we're dealing with so that they can help us by putting pressure on management and helping them to see that these are not just our concerns. These are legitimate concerns that can't be ignored and we need help.
There was a new study recently published in a hospital review journal that showed that even with personal protective equipment, healthcare workers are at a higher risk for COVID-19. Among the reasons are that, of course, there's constant exposure. And the other reason that some fear is that healthcare workers tend to be drawn more from minority communities that have higher health risks because of various stresses, systemic racism, et cetera, institutional racism. And so there's a higher risk even with PPE. Do you worry that the hospital administration is ignoring your concerns? I understand you've picketed before, you're going to be picketing again. They sound like they're just not taking seriously what you and your fellow union members are saying.
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, it's absolutely true that our immunity as healthcare workers is poor right now. We come in, we do the very best that we can, having to fill in for those double time shifts, those overtime shifts, or those prolonged periods of time because we're understaffed. It takes a toll on our body. You know, we get very little sleep, especially me. I'm a night shift, a third shift therapist. I go in at 6:30 and I get off at 7 a.m. So anything can really happen. So with the it's very scary to get sick, even if you have the appropriate mask and everything. But you know, this is one of the things that we have to protect us, you know, a nice face shield.
And for our radio audience, my guest Joshua is showing us a plastic face shield.
Yeah.
So you have a situation where the hospital administration isn't listening to you. What can you do beyond picketing? I'm thinking of, for example, teachers who are worried about having to restart in-person instruction at schools, even though it's not safe, and they're in a somewhat similar conundrum. There's some similarities. And the teachers' union has said that they will support safety strikes if teachers go on strike over the fact that their working environment is unsafe, that they will support them. Do you think that union members like yourself with the National Union of Healthcare Workers may be forced to go on strike if the hospital continues to ignore your demands?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, at this time, I think that the informational picketing is the only thing that we're allotted to do due to our contract with the employer. there's certain things that we're fighting for to get in place that we can help create a better situation for us all. Improving communication with management is number one. Management has refused to see us on a weekly basis to talk about the ongoing dynamic changes inside of their facility at literally on a daily basis. Education is key as well, you know, especially with teachers, you know, learning and knowing and understanding how to protect yourself and how to protect your students, how to disinfect the surrounding environment and different things of that nature is going to be key. So education is definitely key in this scenario.
So you don't have, unfortunately, much leverage beyond the informational picketing. And I suppose the solidarity from other people, from your community. What are you asking for the community to do to pressure Kindred Westminster outside of joining the picket? Can they target investors? Can they, write letters to the hospital administration?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I could just read from this. One of the things that we have is we're asking people to help us by contacting Julie Myers, the CEO of Kindred Hospital Westminster, to tell her to help support us in demanding a safely staffed hospital with a dedicated COVID-19 unit, sufficient PPE, and regular COVID-19 testing for everyone.
And if you send us that, we'll post it to our website. And I imagine that the position that you are in is very similar to the situation for healthcare workers in private hospitals around the country, whether they are unionized or not. And I imagine being in a union gives you some measure of protection compared to even the non-union healthcare workers, right?
Yes, that's correct. You know, it definitely gives us a voice. We're able to organize together to share our concerns. It's one thing if you have someone like me that's complaining about something, but if you have nearly 200 members that are telling you, look, this is not right, it's time to listen up.
Many voices are stronger than one. Joshua, thank you so much for joining us today, and I want to wish you the best of luck, and also thank you for the work that you do, risking your life every day in keeping our fellow Americans alive. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
My guest has been Joshua Fernandez, respiratory therapist at Kindred Hospital Westminster in Southern California. He's also the union steward for his collective bargaining unit with the National Union of Healthcare Workers. We've been discussing how workers like him are demanding PPE, hazard pay, regular testing, and more as the pandemic continues to worsen. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.